Corinthians chapter 15. What I quoted was that of the 20th verse. Now Christ is risen from the dead. Many years ago, hitchhiking was a common practice. I stuck my thumb out many a time to get a ride. You could do it back then. You didn't have to have fear that the guy picking you up had a hatchet he was going to chop you up with. Nor did you have to worry when you stopped and picked somebody up that they were going to do you, who was showing a kind deed, great harm. I remember traveling from Shingle House to Olean. There was one fellow regularly. That's how he got home. He hitchhiked. And you'd see him all the time. And I remember one time I stopped and picked him up. Did it frequently, but this one time in particular. And we were conversing as I don't remember if we were going to or from Shingle House, but we were conversing, and the subject was, what has happened to peace and happiness and contentment? The world's gone crazy. I mean, we're talking 25 years ago. Yep. I mean, if the world went crazy then, it's nuttier than nuts today. Yep. Why are there so many problems in the world? This fella asked me. So I gave the hitchhiker a track. Okay, always kept him close by in the car, and I reached over and I picked one up and I said, here, this talks about Jesus. I think the title of it is, What Do You Think About God? And so I asked him about that, and I said, now you take that along and read it. I gave you a ride, so you take that along and read it. You say, well, that's not nice. Yes, it is. I gave him a ride. It's my gas, my car.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can at least read my little tract. You don't have to like the idea, just read it. Because I believe in the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
And it had Bible verses in it. And so he said, well, I'm not sure. He said, why all the disease and dying? And why do we have all of these tragedies that are going on in the world? And I referred him to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and I said, there it talks about sin. And I think I knew his name. I called his name, and I said, that's why we have all these problems, because of sin. Sin came into the world. And that's why we have these problems. And people live and make choices that involve sin. That's disobedience to God. Okay? Breaking God's word. That's what I mean by sin. Not just doing something I don't like. Doesn't matter what I like. What matters is what God likes. And so then this fellow said, well, why doesn't God do something about all the suffering and the disaster and the tragedies? Why doesn't God? They want to blame God. So I looked at him. I'm driving, but I looked at him anyway. Okay. And I looked at him and I said, he did. He sent Jesus to die on the cross, and he rose from the dead. God did something. The fact of Christ's resurrection is well proven. Beyond the pages of Scripture, or in addition to the pages of Scripture, there is verification in historical accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the people that recorded it didn't necessarily believe it. Okay? But they recorded it. That's what matters. They don't have to believe it. It was, of course, necessary that it be proven, because the resurrection is the foundation of our Christian faith. That Jesus died is marvelous. That he shed his blood was necessary. But if he had not risen from the dead, it all wouldn't have done anything. It would have been like every other religion in the world. And it's comforting to know that the foundation of our faith stands secure. Jesus was careful to show himself to literally hundreds of people. Now, that was not by accident. Jesus, I believe, planned every account, whether he showed himself when he was, there were two men. They were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Emmaus was a little village outside of Jerusalem. And these two men were walking there, and Jesus, he come up and walked with them. Okay? I don't know, did he come from the side? Did he come from the back? Did he just whoop, whoop? You know, there he was. I don't know. All I know is it says he walked with them. And he talked, and he said, "Why are you sad?" And they said, "Don't you know what's been going on?" And they recounted about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and what they had hoped he would be doing for them. And so then came to the end, and they said, "Well, why don't you come in and have a bite to eat with us?" And so he did. And then after he left, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" And they began to realize who it was that was walking with them. It was the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now, there's two people, okay? And then there's another time he was in what's called the upper room. What's the upper room? Second floor, okay? It was up there. It wasn't down here. It was up there. It's called the upper room. Sounds, ooh, the upper room. Second floor, okay? We got an upper room here. And so Jesus, he came, and because he had his glorified body, he did not have to knock and open the door. He just walked through it. Now, listen, you say, "Well, I can't believe that." Yes, you can. You watch all kinds of science fiction stuff, and you buy it hook, line, and sinker of what could happen, and that's what happened. Jesus did it because he is powerful. He just walked right into the room, and there he was with 10 of them. 10 of them, okay? Judas wasn't with him anymore. He went out and hanged himself because he did a dastardly deed. And Thomas isn't there. So he showed himself to 10. And he did that more than once. And then we're going to see later, there was an occasion where he showed himself, the Bible says, to above 500 people at one time. Now, what I'm about to share with you, and it's careful that we show Jesus that he literally rose from the dead. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." All right, now these Corinthian believers, he preached the gospel, and they got saved, and this was their condition now, wherein they stand. Doesn't mean stand like I'm standing, okay? It means that was their position, that was their fixed place, by which ye also are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What he did was always in line with what the Old Testament prophets said would happen.
Amen.
And that he was seen of Cephas. Now that's Peter, okay? He was seen of Cephas. So there we got one. Then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Now you want to talk about proof. Right there it is. 500 people at one time saw him, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some of them are dead. Some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James. There's another one. Then of all the apostles, there we are again. Now we've got all the rest of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. That's Paul. Also as one born out of due time. The others that came in at the same time. But he came in later. Came into what? Came into salvation. Came into the family of God. To the body of Christ. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet, I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You don't deserve what you have in Jesus Christ. You don't deserve it. Your life may have been changed and you might be living a good, godly life now, but you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Praise God. Look at it. Verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I was something else. You wouldn't have wanted to know me back when I needed to get things right with God. Well, I got saved when I was 15 years old. I didn't fully understand what was going on. They told me the Bible said that you're lost and you need to have salvation, and Jesus Christ died and he'll save you. And so I go, well, that's a good deed to me. I need to be saved. So I went and I got saved. And I don't care what anybody teaches and how they teach, I know I got saved.
Amen.
But I only obeyed God and lived for God for a short time. And I decided I could do better with my life than what God could. So I just lived my own way. Hellish way. Hellish way. I'd come home from the radio program on a Sunday morning, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We'd play gospel songs. I'd sit there at the table, my mother on the other side of the table at the microphone, and I'd say, now we're going to listen to a song. We're going to play this song by Stuart Hamlin. He's going to sing for us this old house. And I'd talk about it. He's going to sing the old rugged cross. Eddie Arnold's going to sing the old rugged cross. Okay, now some of you know who these names are. Others of you, you're going to have to go get a history lesson. And so then I'd leave and I'd go home. My dear wife, who was faithful to me, when in this day we're living, many a woman would have left me. Praise God, we're not living in this day. We lived in that day. And she prayed for me. And I'd go home. I talked, boy, I sounded good. Everybody thought I was just fine. I'd go home, she'd say, you going to Sunday school? I'd say, with a few cuss words, blankety blank, I ain't going to church. I've been working, I'm tired. Now listen, using this mouth, often what I say is running my mouth has never been work for me. But I want you to know what I'm doing now in preaching is not running my mouth.
Amen.
Okay, I want you to know that. But it's never been hard for me. So I'd go to bed. She'd take the one child, and then she took the two children, and then she'd take the three children, and she'd go to church. And I'd be sleeping. Now, you know what that is? That is a louse.
Uh-huh.
That's what that is. I didn't deserve the wife that I had. I didn't deserve the life that I was living. But Jesus Christ saved me. And you say, how do you know you were saved? Because he wouldn't let one of his children go on living that way.
Amen.
And he took care of that.
Yeah.
He brought what we call conviction. He put the screws to me. And it's just one thing after another. I could go into detail. I like to tell it, but you're not here to hear about me. You're here to hear about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he rose from the dead. Indeed, he did. There was an infidel named Gilbert West. Other than finding it for this message, I don't know who Gilbert West was. But in his day, he was famous. And he decided he was going to attack Christianity, and he was going to go right to the core. He was going to disprove the resurrection. Now, he was an attorney. He was a lawyer. And so he weighed the subject, the pros and cons. And after he researched and studied, and his purpose, he was prejudiced, and he was filled with hate, and his purpose was to disprove the resurrection. But you know what? He couldn't do it. when he studied the resurrection, he ended up deciding that what he needs to do is renounce his skepticism, his criticism, and his unbelief. And George West, or Gilbert West got saved studying the resurrection. Now listen, he's not the only one. You've heard that kind of story over and over again. When are you going to do your research? When are you going to determine that what the Bible says is true? And that what needs to be changed is you. Because you aren't going to change your Bible. You have an inflated ego of yourself. Thinking that where you are and how you think and where you stand, that's what's important. You're nothing but a drop of sand. Go down to the beach. I got a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. They have a house down near, I forget which beach it is, Ocean City, Maryland. And this morning, they went out onto the beach to a sunrise service. And a beautiful day like we had, they were able to literally see the sun come up. And they were singing songs of victory and praise of the resurrection. I remember at Grace Bible, there was a time where we had a sunrise service. And it was always cold, okay? It was Potter County, same as Allegheny County. It was always cold, but it was beautiful. And there'd be, I don't know, 15, 25 people, 30 sometimes. We'd huddle underneath the front porch of the church. Many of you know where the church is, what it looks like. People huddle underneath there. I had to stand out in the open, poor me, okay? And I'd stand out there and preach, and we'd sing, and it was glorious. What about you? Do you praise the Lord for the power of the resurrection? It's a reliable historical truth. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, this is Paul, those I counted loss for Christ. He had quite the position and stature. I mean, he was a key man in his day. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Why? What would he trade his position, his income, his influence but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them? He said, I lost them, but don't cry for me. I count them as dung. That's a nice term for manure pile. Okay? That's what he counted them as. How do we value? What is it that we value? What is it that we count that we feel is significant? Paul said, I counted it all as just to go out behind the barn. That's where it is. And be found in him. This is what's important, Paul said, that I would be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Now, we're not in the Jewish law, we're not in the Mosaic law, but we have our own law in the Christian circles. In Christian circles, you don't do certain things. You don't go here, you don't go there. You do this, you go here, you do that. And that is the extent of the spiritual life that many Christians in this church right now have. You're following the law that we as Christians have established. You say, well, does that mean it's okay to go to bars? Does that mean it's okay to drink? No, it doesn't mean that. But if that's all that you have, if that's all, if it's just what you do and don't do, it's got to come from the heart. Come from the heart. Paul said, I want to be, verse 9, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here, watch it, here it is. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We can have resurrection power in our life. Well, I just can't overcome this. I just can't stop that. I just can't do this. No, you can't. But you don't really think that you can't. But you can. That's why you keep struggling. But what you need is the power of his resurrection. But to get the power, listen to me now, to get the power of the resurrection, you have also got to have, it's written right there, the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. And to be made conformable to his death. That's why we don't have resurrection power, because we don't have the fellowship of the suffering. I want resurrection power, but I don't want to suffer at all for it. But God says, it doesn't come that way. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul was saved. It wasn't a matter of, you know, he hoped to get saved so that he'd be resurrected. He knew he was going to rise from the dead. Please consider that many of the histories of some of the greatest events recorded and commonly believed could not, by the very nature of the number of people that witnessed the resurrection, upward of 500 at one time, and then 10 here, 10 there, 2 here, 1 there, okay? You say, go read through the Bible. You don't have to read the whole Bible. I mean, just read the Gospels, the end of the Gospels, and read in the book of Acts. And now we're in Corinthians. You can read and you can see how many people saw the signing of many famous treaties affecting nations. I mean, when World War II was over and there was a signing of the treaty on a ship, how many people saw it? Oh, there was a whole bunch of people on the ship, but there was maybe only 50 people that actually saw it. There were upwards of 500 at one time that saw the resurrected Jesus, and that nobody would dispute the signing of that treaty. Well, we have pictures of it. Yeah, we do. That's a benefit, no doubt about it. But we have the number of people that verify. Oh, my goodness. You know, according to some people, go back about 25 years ago, according to some people, Hitler was still alive in South America. He escaped South America, and you talk about pictures. They had pictures of people, and right there it is. See, I got a picture. That's Hitler. He escaped. Oh, he didn't die in that room, underground room there. He didn't die there. He escaped. That was all a plot to fool people. He was in South America. Amelia Earhart. Okay, now there was a name. She flew an airplane, was crossing the oceans. And some people say that when she went down, she didn't die, that she was living in some South Pacific island. And, you know, you can see this kind of thing on television. Okay, you can, documentaries, History Channel, Discovery Channel, these are the channels and others that have these kind of programs. And I'll tell you, right now the big thing is to prove that aliens have come down and they are living amongst us. Are you an alien, Brother John?
No.
Ah, well, sure, he's not going to admit it.
That's right.
I saw after And when he went out, he didn't walk down the steps. He just rose. Okay? And so, see, we got John there, and we got another John right here. I think he's probably an alien, too. Aliens do strange things. And John does strange things, we know that. Yeah, I'm having fun with it, I admit. But I'm serious. You can watch TV programs, and the way they present it, it doesn't take much to convince a person about what's going on. But show them what's in the Bible. Show them what centuries have confirmed, what for centuries have been taught and believed. And here's the thing, lives changed. That's the importance. Lives changed. I'm glad the Morris could be here for today, and he's going to be preaching at 1 o'clock. I'm glad that they could be here. Lives changed. Now, theirs aren't the only lives that are changed, but their lives are changed. Okay? There's other people whose lives have been changed. Brother Neil Ford, he grew up in a normal home. Well, they called it normal. he grew up, really, normal home. Dad went to work, mom took care of the things, she went to work sometimes, cooked, cleaned, okay, and he gave the boys, he did normal life. But you know what? He needed to be saved. Just living in a normal life, that didn't do it. Your life may be all screwed up. Your life may be one that you don't want anybody to know about it. No, but that's not Neil. I mean, Neil's had a normal life. Ah, but he didn't want to take that normalness. He told us this. I'm not telling Shane anything. He's giving testimony. But what happened? God loves him. And because God loves him, he worked in his heart. And then he brought Neil to himself. And Neil knows the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous thing?
It is.
You know, it's marvelous because they're sick, grace, and honor. Can you imagine what their life would be if Neil had continued the way he was? Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came down, worked in his heart. See, I share that. I grew up in a normal home. Well, my daddy died when I was 13, and my mother did what she could. But the strain of losing her husband at 45 years of age when he died, she couldn't handle it, and she ended up in a facility because her mind just wasn't what it ought to be. And my brother, he died recently, about a week ago. He had Alzheimer's, and it was a blessing when God took him. And and so he, my brother, I was 13, that made him 23, and he did what he could to try and take care of a rebellious 13-year-old, and made it through. And I had a godly grandfather who came one Sunday, and he said, Mickey, that was my mother's name, Mickey, well, actually, her name is Mildred, but they didn't call her Mildred, they called her Mickey. Mickey, we're going to go to church. He listened to this church radio program. He said, we're going to go to church, get rapture, okay? Not Roger, rapture. And so I was over playing at the nearby elementary school. We were playing football, and she come walking across, and I saw her there, and I said, what do you want? Okay, real polite, okay? What do you want? And she said, Pop's here, and he's going to take us to church. My thought was church. We didn't go to church in the morning. Why would we go at night? Because Pop was there. Pop was a godly man. And I am in the ministry today because God called him to be in the ministry, and he resisted and didn't follow. Then he came to realize what he did, and so he prayed for God to take one of his offspring and put him in the ministry. And let me tell you, I was the least likely candidate. I was like you before I got saved. Like you were before you got saved, okay? Yeah. Like you were before you said, oh, you weren't like that. Yeah, I was. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying it. And the reason I'm saying it is to maybe wake somebody up. We're living in the woke generation. You want to be part of the woke generation? Listen, the woke was here before the woke came. Paul said it in Ephesians, awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and let God give you some light.
Amen.
Hey, now Grace and Autumn, they're living for the Lord. Now, they're living for the Lord, they're living at home. And that's the way the home is, that's the way they are. One of my prayers for Grace and Autumn, and Lily, and others, okay, is that they, when they need to make their own choices on things. And I pray that you girls will choose righteousness and godliness. Okay? And it might not look exactly like your mom and dad. All of our children, four of them, live for the Lord. Now, they have some different standards than what I have. And they do some things they didn't do that when they were growing up. Well, they're grown up now, so they can do what they want. And they are. Okay? But that's all right. They're living for the Lord. I'd rather have them do some things that I don't like and live for the Lord than to not live for the Lord and do things the way I do it.
Yeah.
The way I do it is not the determiner. Amen? The determiner is God and His Word. Let me get back here to the resurrection. Sort of got sidetracked there. The sunrise suggests new life. The sunrise is an awakening. Now, I must confess, I don't usually see the sunrise. The sun has risen by the time I see it. Now, Bonnie there, she sees sunrise. She is up early. Oh, my goodness, 4:30? Yeah, I've told you already, the only reason I get up at 4 or 4:30 is for that little room. Okay? And then I'm going back to bed. But just as sure as the sun rises in the east, so Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says, now is Christ risen from the dead. An angel said, he is not here, when the women went to the tomb. He is not here. Why isn't he here? For he is risen. And they said, come, look, see where he did lay? This is where they put him, but that stone slab, it's empty now. And those grave wrappings, they're all folded nicely. The one that was over his face, folded nicely, laying there. Come see, he's not there. The Lord is risen indeed. Thomas the doubter said, I won't believe unless I can touch it and feel it. So Jesus, he called his number, okay? The next time Jesus came, he said to Thomas, you want to touch it? You want to see my side? And go ahead. Thomas didn't need to when he saw the resurrected Savior. And just as sure as the sun sets in the west, so you and I will die. The sun rises and tells us about the resurrection, and the sun sets, and it's a verification that someday the sun is going to set on your life. You're a young person, and I anticipate that you'll have 50, 70 years to live. But you know, there are funeral services for young people.
That's right.
Don't count on the fact that you're young.
That's right.
And you have your whole life ahead of you. God might just call you home sooner. Well, will it be home? If you die, will he call you home? Or will you have determined your destiny? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. Pop, my grandfather. Okay, when Jesus comes again in the rapture, it's a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet in the rising. We're going to go up and meet the Lord in the air, and I'll see Pop. He gives us the opportunity to meet our loved ones. I'll get to see Pop. I'll get to see my dad. He got saved about a year before he died. It's a whole story. I love telling stories. You have stories to tell. Don't you like telling them? Well, come on up here. I'll let you take some time and you can tell them. And but I'm going to see them. I'm going to see my mom. She's no longer going to have the limitations and frailties of a weak mind. No, that's not going to be. And that's going to be a grand time. Every sunset and sunrise preaches to us the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father in heaven, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity you have given us on this special day when we remember the resurrection.
Today could be the day when they trust Jesus. I pray that it would be so. It may not be in this service. It may be in some other setting. Where isn't important. What's important is that it happens. And I pray, dear Father, that it would happen. And this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.